Hello, and welcome to Anaphylaxis UK's Let's Talk About Allergies podcast, where we provide expert answers to common questions about allergies and anaphylaxis. Our goal is to offer valuable insights on how we can all work together to make life easier and safer for those living with allergies. In today's episode, we're marking the first week of Stress Awareness Month by taking a closer look at the exciting announcement we made last month, our new partnership with the University of Surrey, supported by Innovate UK, which will focus on tackling allergy-related anxiety. Living with severe allergies isn't just about avoiding your allergen, it's a daily psychological challenge that often goes unaddressed. Today we're joined by our Chief Exec, Simon Williams, our new counselling psychologist, Dr. Erin Alford, who will be leading this innovative programme, and Professor Chrissy Jones, health psychologist with specialism in allergy anxiety. Together, they will explore the hidden emotional impact of allergies and how this new initiative aims to transform support for those affected.
Hello, Erin. Hello, Chrissy. Lovely to see you both. And Erin, particularly, welcome.
Thank you.
It's great to see you on board. So you've come to work with on allergies and working with Anaphylaxis UK specifically really around a programme to support people with those anxieties associated with living with serious allergies. And I'm delighted to see you with us and really welcome your input to develop this very important programme. Tell us a little bit about your background, if you would, and really what drew you to come and work for Anaphylaxis UK.
Yeah, so a bit about my background. So I'm a counselling psychologist based up here in Scotland, and I have mostly been working in private practice doing clinical work, so like one-to-one therapy, for the past couple of years. And I've also been working at Glasgow Caledonian University up here in Glasgow. And yeah, I was doing some tutoring, placement tutoring, supporting trainees with their placements and assignments, and also facilitating some group sessions, professional development sessions and supervision sessions too. And yeah, really enjoyed the group working aspect of it. During that time, I did work with an LGBT charity for a bit and ended that so that I could focus more on the psychology work. But I'd been missing working with a charity and especially working in private practice, which is such a contrast to working with a charity. I was just really missing that. And when I saw this opportunity come up, I was just really excited to be able to work with a charity again. So that was kind of the first point of it. But the more I was looking into allergies and the psychological impact too, and realizing, I guess, the lack of support that is out there, that really drew me to work with Anaphylaxis UK and to hopefully be a part of something that can, just bring more support to the people affected by allergies. So yeah, that's really what brought me to the project.
Very good. It's very exciting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, Chrissy, as an expert in allergy psychology, could you explain how allergy-related anxiety usually affects people and why specialised support is so important?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question, Simon, because we know that, you know, any long-term health condition likely impacts on stress and anxiety and low mood and depression. But I think there are some unique aspects of having an allergy which are distinct from other long-term conditions. I think, you know, to acknowledge the whole allergy journey is probably quite important as well. So you think that actually the diagnosis itself can be quite lengthy for some people, and typically there's a degree of uncertainty there, and especially when it's something around consuming food, which we all have to do multiple times a day, I think that can make people really anxiety actually during the diagnostic journey. So this is before they've even been diagnosed with an allergy. And then once you have the diagnosis, what we do know is that for some people, actually having that diagnosis can be really helpful and reduce anxiety because they have a level of certainty. They know what to do, although management and avoidance is not straightforward for a lot of people. But for others, there's a degree of anxiety and stress which continues. This can be around, you know, just trying to maintain safety. So checking all of the ingredients list when you're eating out or going to restaurants, which also impacts the ability to socialize. So there's a kind of a developmental aspect there, whether you're a child, a parent or an adult. There's fears around adrenaline auto-injectors, which we know are used for treatment of emergency situations. So there can be needle phobia and things like that, which are problematic because it means people are less, well, they're more less likely to administer to themselves. So that can be challenging. There is hypervigilance. So we end up kind of paying too much attention potentially to some situations, which we then necessarily avoid or unnecessarily avoid. And what that leads to is people again restricting their social activities. Parents and children can be particularly worried about food allergy related bullying, and unfortunately we've seen incidences of this in the press, and so that can be problematic. There can be concerns after anaphylactic reaction as well, so it can for some people instill feelings of PTSD, so post-traumatic stress disorder or post-traumatic stress, so that can impact on people where they're kind of reliving those situations, which can cause, again, stress and anxiety. Yeah, I mean, really, it can impact on so many aspects of day-to-day living, because eating is a day-to-day activity. You know, it's not something that we can avoid. And I think that's where it's really intrinsically different. And I think the other thing to say is, you know, these are all insurance, almost insurance taking, really, because there's no medication that we can take as a kind of preventative medication. Our only way of managing is to avoid the allergen, and that's not entirely possible with the best will in the world. You know, accidental exposures do happen. So I think really the whole stress and anxiety is underpinned by that kind of level of uncertainty. I think the other thing to think about is some of the physical symptoms we experience as part of an allergic reaction are very similar to the physical experiences we have around anxiety. So then it becomes quite difficult to unpick, actually, is this an allergic reaction or is this a symptom of anxiety? And that causes quite a lot of confusion for people as well. And that's why even things like food challenges can be really hard if you haven't got them kind of placebo controlled, because people can be anxious in those situations as well. Yeah, so quite a lot to think about.
Yeah, well, exactly why we want this program. It's so very important for Anaphylaxis UK to have some sort of support. And Erin, perhaps you could talk us through some of the main goals that you hope to achieve.
Yeah, so I would say one of the main goals of the programme, hopefully this Chrissy would agree with me, is to help the people experiencing allergies to feel less of it and to reduce isolation, and as well just to bring people together who have a similar experience or a shared experience of that allergy related anxiety. So primarily it's that, just really bringing people together and reducing that isolation. And as well, we have the goal of equipping people with knowledge and resources and skills to be able to support themselves when they are experiencing that anxiety. And that's hopefully something that they'll be able to take forward with them into the future. And yeah, it will be supportive, because the anxiety, you know, it might still be there for quite some time. It's not something that can go away very quickly. Mm-hmm. And it might always be there to some extent. So our goal is just that people know what they can do, what support is there, that they can, yeah, support themselves. And I guess to help empower people to be able to support themselves in that way.
How do you say that it complements with other services that are currently on offer? And we've talked, I think, previously about the challenges that people face in accessing a lot of particularly NHS services.
Yeah, so I think you've nailed it really, Simon. I know we have spoken a touch about this before, but there aren't that many services within the NHS which have a dedicated psychologist working within the teams. So what that means is that you're likely to get, if you're lucky enough to have a psychologist working with you, they're likely to be working with lots of other usually children, because as far as I know, there's not that many, there's even fewer, I guess, clinical psychologists working within, or practitioner psychologists working within, adult services. So if you are lucky enough to have a psychologist, they're likely to be working across conditions. And that's, you know, that's fine in and of itself, but they may be, I guess, less well versed in some of the challenges that we know, which I mentioned are unique to people living with allergies. So I think there's that kind of difficulty there sometimes. And, you know, a lot of people living with allergies have often said, you know, I don't feel well understood, or I don't think people are really quite grasping the challenges that I'm living with day to day. So I think there is a shortage of specialist psychologists working in this area. We know that's a problem. I guess the other thing is, you know, there are charities and third sectors available for people living with allergies, like Anaphylaxis UK, which are fantastic, but actually none of them have a helpline dedicated to kind of the psychological support needs. So I think really that's another kind of unique selling point of this project, is to really upskill some of the helpline staff to be able to support people living with allergies, because it is a bit of a postcode lottery as well, and actually that's not particularly it's not equal at all. So we're really trying to make psychological care, I guess, equitable for people living with allergies,
and certainly being able to as part of the program provide that online support with a CBT type of intervention. So learning from all of the good work that you've done, Chrissy, and others in this area, just to make it more accessible for people to help overcome those challenges.
Absolutely.
But maybe we should, maybe I've gone ahead of myself too far here, and we've been talking about this KTP, the Knowledge Transfer Partnership, that Anaphylaxis UK and the University of Surrey have managed to get the support from Innovate UK to work with you, Erin. Perhaps if you wouldn't mind explaining a little bit more about what the KTP is for those that are listening that may be unfamiliar with it.
Yeah, so the Knowledge Transfer Partnership, so it's funded by Innovate UK, and what it does is it basically connects businesses and organizations with academic experts, and they basically work together to bring innovative ideas into practice. Yeah, so basically each of them will be tailored to the individual needs of whatever the organization is looking for, what they're hoping to achieve. And so in our case, so with our KTP, it is, so Chrissy and Warren, who is our other academic, he's a clinical psychologist, and they are bringing with them their own expertise and knowledge, especially in the field of allergies, where Chrissy has done research in the area and has extensive understanding of allergies and the anxiety associated with that. So basically, they're transferring that knowledge into the organisation, and I'm bringing in my knowledge and experience in clinical practice, and particularly in working with people with anxiety and using CBT. I use various approaches in therapy, but CBT is one of them, and which can be really useful for tackling anxiety. So that's, I guess, the transfer of knowledge that I'm bringing into the project too. And from that, we will develop a program or a project that will bring all of that information together and put into practice something that will support what the organisation is hoping to achieve.
It's a brilliant idea, being able to bring everyone together. And I think it is quite, Innovate UK would only support, I would imagine, innovation. And this is quite an innovative, novel approach, that a charity is the business partner, and being able to develop such a unique service, really. So Anaphylaxis UK, I think we're very fortunate to be in this position to be working with such experts and developing this sort of a service. Chrissy, can I turn to you now and just ask you about the challenges that there might be in addressing allergy related anxiety? How do we see this programme being able to support people?
Yeah, it's another great, great question. I mean, one of the specific challenges is actually access to specialised support. So on the off, we're addressing it from that perspective, because we're actually designing something which is, you know, evidence-based. So we've done a lot of research in this area, and this work that we're taking forward is advancing that knowledge. So I think we already know it's on a really strong foundation, and it's specific and has been developed with and for people living with allergies, and that includes adults, children and parents, because a lot of the research that is out there at the moment is aimed at parents and children, and adults are frequently kind of forgotten from that list. And actually we do know that adults diagnosed in adulthood often don't have the coping skills because they, you know, they're newly diagnosed, and that can be really challenging to adjust to a diagnosis later in life. So I think that's number one thing that we're kind of addressing. I think, again, when we're thinking about some of the psychological difficulties of people living with allergies face, you know, anxiety, as Erin was kind of alluding to earlier, it's not that anxiety is not going to exist after, you know, someone's engaged with our program. It's actually providing tools to manage that anxiety and to not feel so heightened in the moment. And some of the problems there are that we have to kind of repeat expose ourselves to potentially difficult experiences. So thinking about needle phobia, for example, you know, the more times we probably familiarize with ourselves with a needle, the less we're actually going to feel so terrified by it. Now, in that example, you know, we're only really wanting to use our adrenaline auto-injector if we feel an anaphylactic reaction is, you know, approaching. And so it's then difficult to kind of repeat expose yourself to things where actually you don't need to be doing that all of the time. And I think the other thing that is really kind of challenging with allergy-related anxiety is the fact that, you know, fatalities do happen. You know, they're very rare, but thankfully they're incredibly rare, but they do happen. So it feels like a gamble for people, you know. On the one hand, missing out on opportunities and not socializing maybe impairs quality of life, but for some people, the kind of anxiety around actually engaging some of those tasks feels worse than the impairment on your quality of life. So I think that's another real challenge that we have to think about is, you know, where's the sweet spot for individuals? Because some people will be fine with not going out ever to eat or never going abroad or traveling. And for others, that will be incredibly life limiting. So I think the other thing is we have to take it almost on a person by person approach, because everyone's kind of experience and quality of life impacts are likely to be different.
So, Erin, what are your early insights? What sort of things have you maybe discovered for the first time, or kind of what sort of things are emerging as part of your initial research that would be helpful to implement as part of this program? We've touched upon CBT. We've also talked about interaction with other people with similar sorts of experiences. Were those the two main findings so far?
So, yeah, when we think about what our intervention really is, so the key part is going to be the CBT intervention, which will be an online intervention, which Chrissy touched on really well there. But basically what CBT is we're looking at emotions, thoughts, behaviors, and how they all intertwine. And what the intervention will do is it will tackle different aspects of that. So a first part would be psychoeducation, which will give people the knowledge and the understanding of what anxiety is, how it works, and even what Chrissy said earlier about the physical sensation of anaphylaxis versus anxiety. They are really similar. So just even just things like that, talking people through how to identify the differences. So yeah, so that's an element of it. Also challenging ourselves, reshaping them, that's a key part of what the process will be, and exposure to which Chrissy went into, which can be a challenge, of course. You know, even with taking flights, that will be something, you know, you can't just slowly expose yourself to getting on a flight. So there's ways we need to think around that. And as well, another thing is relaxation techniques, which I think will be really important for this intervention. And is really, I love to bring in relaxation for anxiety. It can be really beneficial. So things like breathing exercises, grounding techniques, that will also be a part of what we try to implement. Another thing that we have been looking at is psychologically informed environments, and that's kind of the key part of the research that I'm doing at the moment, and that is something we will be trying to implement within Anaphylaxis UK. And so there's various different elements that come under that, but basically the aim of that is just to equip the people that are working in the organisation to be able to best support the people that we are supporting. And that will involve things like reflective practice within the staff team, and also just having an understanding of where people are coming from, how anxiety is impacting them, maybe how other things in life are impacting them too, so that we have an organisational culture that is empathic and understanding, and that should feed into the people that we're supporting, but also into the organisation itself. And we're really hoping to, not to say that Anaphylaxis UK isn't already, you know, a really wonderful place to be working, that's not it at all, but it's just to really implement that and make that a real core part of what the organization's culture is. So that's the other aspect I would say is that we're focusing on as well with the project, which I think is really exciting to make that kind of impact on the organization and the people that come through the organization too.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And, you know, that what I hope that Anaphylaxis UK does is try and promote that can do. You know, we recognise that there are challenges and very often barriers, and sometimes those barriers are artificial and might relate to a label on a product or an attitude of a member of staff, perhaps in a restaurant. It's how we can remove those barriers and make things easier for people. And part of this, the exciting part of this programme is being able to equip people themselves with those tools on how to overcome things, but trying as a charity to touch upon every touch point in somebody's life, whether it's in a nursery, whether it's in a after school club, whether it's in a school, working closely with restaurants, working very closely with large retail chains or supermarkets, restaurants and others, to help remove those barriers through training, awareness and so on. And it's very exciting for me and for the charity as a whole to be able to, you know, give people that opportunity to live an everyday life and improve their quality of life. That really is a big impact for me. How about you, Chris? What would you say is the big impact, and what would you hope, how this might impact upon people's lives in a positive way?
Yeah, I think it's a hard question. I would say
I've put you on the spot.
On the spot. No, I think it's probably about the potential reach of this as well. Yeah. Which never sits easy with me is that I mentioned it earlier, is the inequity of care. And that's not without the best will in the world from the allergy services. It's because, you know, they can't put business cases together. It's hard, you know, to justify psychological professions often within certain services. And so you really do end up with this postcode lottery. I know that word is bandied around for lots of different things. And so for me, I think that that's a fantastic opportunity for lots of people. And I think, you know, some people might engage with a charity outside of necessarily their health team, because there can be, you know, some of this kind of, you know, the fear to kind of challenge some of your healthcare professionals, doctors and nurses. So I actually think, because Anaphylaxis UK are impartial to their direct care team, I think actually we may see perhaps a different type of person engaging, which again really speaks to that kind of potential reach and impact. I also think, you know, what Erin was saying at the start around helping people feel less alone and really normalizing some of the concerns that they have, because I think, again, a lot of people will kind of say, I don't know how other people cope and all those sorts of things. And actually, if we're facilitating some of these support groups and being able to show how other people are coping, rather than kind of being done to, actually people sharing their solutions for and hacks, their life hacks around living with allergy. Mm. I think it's just a really positive, focused, kind of strengths-based approach, which, you know, sits well with me and my values, and I think Anaphylaxis UK and your values from the conversations we've had as well, Simon.
Yeah, and accessibility certainly is an issue for us, and but being realistic about it, you know, this is an evolution. We won't have everybody having access to a support group overnight, and mm-hmm. it will take time. But clearly, you know, we've got to start this process, and we've already started with the help of Erin, but very open to partnerships and working very closely with allergy clinics.
Absolutely.
Very closely with healthcare professionals, whether that's a GP service or others. You know, we can't do this alone. Getting support from local businesses or national businesses, maybe to sponsor or help expand the programme. We're very open to, you know, working with a variety of different people. But of course, as well, the online service, when that's available, the nature of it, we'll make sure, you know, we'll try and make that as available and accessible to as many people as we possibly can. Erin, let's conclude with you, since you're the champion for our cause here. What do you see as its major impact?
I mean, I don't want to steal Chrissy's answer at all, but definitely along the same lines. For me, yeah, I'm thinking it's about just the reach and widening the support that people have access to. And I do just really hope that over the project that we are able to just spread awareness about the psychological impact and that that is picked up by, yeah, other organisations, allergy clinics, and that it just becomes more of a key element of support that is provided, that it's not just focusing on the physical or the health aspect, it's also the mental health aspect too. So I think that would be really wonderful if this project is able to contribute to that. And yeah, just to help people feel less alone. Often, you know, we can feel, if we're struggling with something, that this is just me, like, why is this so difficult for me, and that nobody else experiences it. But as soon as we get that opportunity to speak to somebody else, often it can take away a lot of that. And as you said, Chrissy, just normalizing our experience, which is going to be so important with this, because a lot of the anxiety is, you know, is really justified. It is really understandable. There's a real reason to feel worried about, you know, eating out or going on holiday. So yeah, I think just normalizing and just bringing, I guess, self-compassion as well to people who are experiencing that anxiety. Yeah, I don't know if I'm going off on a tangent, but
not at all. No, yeah, I think it's a super exciting program. We are very, very privileged to be working with you both and others as part of this program. You know, it's a team effort, it's a collaboration. I think we're starting something really special here. I think it's a service that is desperately needed. We need to reach out as much as we possibly can. And I just want to say thank you.
Thank you. Pleasure to work with you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on the podcast and for having me on the project. Yeah, really looking forward to what we're going to bring over the next few years.
Great. Let's get together again on a podcast, which obviously we speak close very regularly in work. Let's get together in a couple of months' time and perhaps we'll give an update on where things are.
Sounds good.
We hope you enjoyed tuning in to today's podcast on this very important topic. To make sure you don't miss any episodes, you can subscribe to our podcast on your favourite podcast app, including Spotify and Apple Music. Finally, be sure to follow us on social media at AnaphylaxisUK to join in the conversation, and let us know if there are any questions you would like us to answer next time.